This is Christy Lauer from Highline Spirits, and you're listening to Bourbon Podcast.
I can't even tell you how excited I am for this episode. I have held this bottle, Old Forster 1924, for probably a month. I was waiting for all three of us to be together. Aww. And here we are. I got Joe and Kyle in the bunker. They can't get away. I've got the door locked.
Because normally you guys choose these incredible bottles when I'm not here. So I appreciate you.
He's still mad at us because we drank Booker's 2401, which is in the running for Whiskey of the Year. It's just telling you.
Good.
It was really good.
I did so damn
seven,
good.
Did
7 years, 7 months. It is phenomenal.
Mm.
All right. So, but what we're going to do today is a proof positive of Old Forester 1924. And I've been excited about this one.
Me too.
This is, well,
I smelled this.
I know the nose, it's a vanilla bomb, and I don't even want to give it up, but it's kind of, King of Kentucky.
Oh, don't even go. You can't compare anything.
I'm not even going to compare it. I'm just going to say, same mash bill.
Yeah.
All right. Same recipe.
Where are you going? So, wait a minute. King of Kentucky, they did I've seen the 14 year, the 15 year, 16, and the 18, which is possible. This is 10 years.
Yeah, so
You're saying it's a Prince of Kentucky is what you're saying.
I'm gonna go against my the current trend of going mash bills later and then talking about the history first. But this is not the typical Old Forester mash bill.
All right, give us the details.
And let me just tell you on the mash bill, the Old Forester traditional mash bill is the 72% corn, 18% rye, 10% malted barley. And that's basically the Old Forester offerings and including the birthday bourbon.
Brand Presidents, Choice, Select, whatever. I always get that screwed up. But same there also.
They're all
It's all the same.
All the same, but they also have early times, and early times is essentially this recipe, which is the 79% corn, so 7% higher. It's a pretty big number. 11% rye, 10% malted barley. And so that is also, I believe, the same recipe as the
King.
The King of Kentucky and early times. And it's I don't want to overhype this, but I can just say this is the first time I've actually had this, and Kyle, the first thing I noticed before we even started the podcast, the nose was just
insane.
Was exploding on this thing. So, all right. If you guys don't mind, I will go through the brand history real quickly. But Old Forester 1924, 10-year-old bourbon. This the distillery is Brown-Forman Distillery in Shively, Kentucky. The company is Brown-Forman. They have 5,200 employees worldwide. Their products are sold in 170 countries. Notable American whiskeys would include Jack Daniel's, Woodford Reserve, Cooper's Craft, that they also have in their portfolio. The brand history, 1846, George Garvin Brown, i.e. Brown, was born in, can you pronounce that, Kyle?
Munfordville?
Kentucky.
And how many guesses are you?
I was like, shit, this is what we get for doing the Blanton's interview, right? So, but if you fast forward 17 years later, he moves to Louisville to go to high school.
We're now in 1863, folks. You're welcome.
Is going to be a long episode.
We're going to jump to 1863. He moves to Louisville for high school, and he becomes a pharmaceutical salesman. And that's important, the pharmaceutical salesman piece of this, because it's part of the Old Forester history. So that in 1870, he goes on to create the very first bottled bourbon. Old Forester is what he's named it. And it's named after Dr. William Forester with two R's, not one. And he was a Civil War surgeon. And what does that have to do with pharmaceutical sales and Civil War surgeon? Well, it was the first bourbon that was bottled and labeled as a medicinal bourbon while he was a pharmaceutical salesman.
All right. I didn't know that. That's cool.
That's pretty kind of cool, right?
Good job.
It's amazing. Kudos to Joe. So in fast forward to 1897, the U.S. Bottled and Bond Act goes into place. And to comply with that, they have to start producing bottled and bond, you know, bourbon at 100 proof. And in order to qualify for bottled and bond, like our prior, podcast, it has to be a single distiller in a single season, either spring or fall. It has to be aged for a minimum of 4 years in a federally bonded rickhouse. It has to be bottled at 100 proof and the same location it was distilled at. So a lot of proof and a lot of transparency. In 1920, Prohibition begins, and Old Forester becomes the only bourbon to continually be sold by the same company before, during, and after Prohibition. So it kind of puts to rest a lot of what I think Buffalo Trace and who's the oldest bourbon, what the claim is.
They were going the whole time.
That was their, exactly. Now we're going to fast forward like 82 years later.
Wow. You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah. For those that are still listening,
there's a lot of firsts in there along the way. But in 2002, I thought it was notable, Ben, because, and Kyle, because of the birthday, Burton, but they celebrate the 156th birthday of George Garvin Brown, the founder of Old Forester, and with the very first release of Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. So that is the origination of the birthday bourbon. And if you go to 2014, they launched the Whiskey Row series, which we're going to get into. And those are the collection of whiskeys that lead to 1924. In 2015, it's notable that Campbell Brown, again, from Brown Foreman, he's a fifth generation Brown family member. He is brought in as president, CEO of Old Forester.
That's the president's choice or select.
Yeah. Now, what year was that?
2015.
All right, so still he's the one that I met at the distillery. Great guy. He was wearing a top hat.
Love it. Oh, when I bought the crazy bottle.
Yeah.
And we did a podcast where we talked a lot about the Old Forester Distillery returning to Whiskey Row and the building it occupied, back in the 1800s, the early 1900s, after a long renovation period. And so if you go to Louisville today, you'll find Old Forester Distillery.
Must stop in Louisville. It is. You're going to Louisville. I just had a buddy text me, like, what should I do in Louisville? Shout out Craig.
Yeah.
I was like, go to Old Forester. Hey, even if you just go to the bar.
Yeah, the Old Forester, but they, the night that I was there, they had everything. Like, if you want a birthday bourbon, if you want a president's choice, whatever. Typically, though, it's not, they don't have a whole lot.
No,
like,
remember,
at least out for sale.
No, but yeah, but in the bar, that's what I'm saying.
In the bar, you can have a pour of everything.
It's like $50. Like, yeah, okay, fair.
And
good food, too. The restaurant there is great.
I haven't had the food.
Yeah, we went there for lunch and... It's cool.
You got to go.
It's great. I mean, they're not going to have birthday bourbon on the shelf. Yeah. Don't go there for that. But in the bar, you can get a pour of anything.
Yep.
The key to that building, for those of you that go visit, is that Old Forester occupied that building from 1882 to 1919. So it is part of their core and their roots. There's so much history that goes into that building. And so that was 2018. So let's talk a bit now about the Whiskey Row series that Old Forester started. So it begins with, in 2014, they introduced the 1870 original batch for $45. In 2015, it's the 1897 bottled and bond. Now, I think this is important. Mm-hmm. This is something I want us to think about when we're doing this, because the bottled and bond's at 100 proof. It's a different, slightly different recipe from what we were talking about, but it's less than half the price.
Non-age dated though, right?
Non-age dated.
Nope.
So it's going to be much younger.
We don't know.
The 1920 Prohibition style is released in 2017, and that's the highest of the proofs. The 1910 Old Fine Whiskey is released in 2018. And then now the 1924, the 10-year-old in 2024.
All right. Forget 1924 for a second, because you guys haven't tried it yet. Hmm. Which of the Whiskey Row series, which one do you prefer? Like, which one is more appealing to you? 1920, 1910?
If I'm at a campfire, I always tell people I'll open up a bottle of 1910 and pass it around. But the 1920s
I'm a huge 1920 guy. Yeah, I think the 1920 is like so good. It's one of the things I mean, I've said it on the podcast. It like puts to shame a lot of allocated whiskey.
It really does. And you know, I love the 1910.
Yeah, 1910 is great.
And there's like this, I can't describe it. I'm not I just can't. But it's almost like a, it's like more, it tastes more like dessert than the 1920. The 1910, there's something about that, that, and I, and honestly, you can't find that on the shelf everywhere. Yeah. 1920, you typically find on the shelf, but 1910, you can't. That's been my go-to. Like, in, if I just want to pour 1910 or 1920.
Yep.
No doubt. And, you know, what's weird about this 1924 release of the fifth release is there's two things that are strange about it. One is the others are released throughout the year. This is a limited release. It's going to only be released annually on a limited basis. Yep. And then secondly, we talked about the mash bill. The mash bill is a different mash bill than the other four whiskeys. And so I'm
sure it's interesting that they branded it. You know what I mean? Like
part of the Whiskey Row.
Series. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Very fascinating. They didn't just kind of come out with their own kind of
Prince of Kentucky.
Whatever. Yeah. Call it something else.
Hey, I trademarked that.
Yeah. that's what we're releasing our
whiskey. Every time you say it, you owe me a dollar.
If you want to know why it's called 1920. Now, by the way, this 1870, 1897, 1920, 1910, they're all named after, you know, specific like historical points in time for Old Forester during their, you know, during
so
their
what history. Was important about 1924?
During Prohibition in 1924.
Lead the witness.
Over 200 distilleries in Kentucky closed, and the federal government issued one of six permits to a basically bottle existing whiskey stocks, not to make more, as medicine. And one of those went to Old Forester. So in 1924, Old Forester acquired a bunch of these barrels from these closed distilleries, and they bottled it as Old Forester. And so the 1924 special release honors the 100th anniversary of this moment in time for Old Forester.
And so that's the tie to the different mash bill. But it's still like, it's a Brown Forman mash bill. So I don't know. It's a little confusing.
You know what's really cool, Kyle, is that you actually picked that. I had to read my research. I had to read that three times to understand it. But you got it right away. That's what it is. It is the fact that they bought all these barrels. They blended them. And when you kind of blend them, they're trying to come up with, well, what did that taste like in 1924? Well, guess what, Kyle? That blend was this separate, quote, recipe, very similar to the early times recipe. So there you have it. And that is the story of the 1924. A couple of final things here. These are the stats. 10 years of age, 100 proof. It's not bottled and bond, but it is 100 proof. $115 is the MSRP. You guys want to chime, Ben, secondary? What do you think is that?
Oh, it's, well, it's really not fair right now because it just came out like a month or so ago. Yeah. So it's like $300.
Yeah.
Don't
$300. Yeah. And I think I've seen person to person lately, it's like really fallen like 175, but it's still,
people are getting it. I mean,
175 to 200, right?
So I got lucky on these. I got two bottles and only because.
Yeah, it's okay.
We'll reserve my commentary. Yeah,
so the other
on your luck.
The other four Whiskey Rose series releases are much younger, different recipes. So this is very unique because it's age stated, 10 years old.
But isn't there something about the aging process of Old Forman? Like it tastes older. There's something about their process because I've been to the distillery and I've been through the tour a few times. And Melissa Rift, when we were there, she was talking about it too. And we love her, by the way.
Yeah, she's great.
She is great. There's something about their charring or the way that they, that it actually makes it taste older than what it really is.
Yeah, I think it has to do with how they rotate barrels and things like that. Okay. But I think I will tell you this, that the nose is outstanding on this. Well, I'm really excited. I have not tried it yet.
You will not find.
And the color is beautiful.
Yes, that's what I was going to point out. So first of all, the legs, it's like all over my glass right now.
Yep.
And you will not find a 10-year-old bourbon this dark.
It's been described.
Unless it's in Texas.
Yeah. So it was funny, but it's been described as dark graham cracker. How about that?
Oh, hell, I don't
know what that means. The important thing, because graham cracker, you're going to see is threaded throughout this, but graham cracker are the threads throughout, not just the nose and the taste and the finish, but apparently what makes this really unique is people tend to pick up a lot of graham cracker.
Well,
so let's find out.
I will say, I've had a sip. As you have a sip, Joe, the nose is unique. It is sweet. You know, you call it the vanilla, but there is something The graham cracker, I think, is actually a good call, and I claim no ability to decipher any notes with the nose or when I taste it, but I think the graham cracker is actually a pretty good call.
Well, I don't taste graham cracker.
It's really good. I will say that.
The distillery notes on the aroma are fudge and cocoa, marzipan, and cured tobacco, oak, warm cinnamon. I can hear Ben laughing.
What percentage of cured tobacco did you get, Ben? Is that 5 or 8%?
I got a 0% on tobacco. First of all, I hate tobacco.
Oh, the smell, though. Nice.
I do not like the smell. I don't like
really?
The, oh, I love the God, smell. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Not so, burned, like rot, like unburned tobacco?
Well, hell, I've never had that. Like, tobacco, to me, I took a dip of Copenhagen and threw my guts out. I mean, I'm not a tobacco guy, but...
Me either, but...
God, don't you remember those old Earl Campbell commercials? Skol, yeah. Brother.
I like Earl Campbell, but I don't like Skol. The... No offense to our friends down in North Carolina and South Carolina. Yeah, we love you.
Sorry, guys.
I just don't. I'm not a smoker. Wow.
You know, the color.
This is really, really good.
You like
really
it? Good. So the color and the nose, to me, like, I'm looking for, like, everything to explode on my palate based on what I'm seeing and smelling. And I'm not getting that. What? I'm like. It's very good. Don't get me wrong.
It's not explosive.
It's
more subdued. It's more subdued than the 1920 for sure. And I know it's a different mash bill.
It is subdued.
But this 1920, I think one of the reasons I love it is it's pretty explosive.
It's in your face.
It's in your face, which is what I tend to like. But this is not, but I think this is a fantastic.
This is a really good mix between 20 and 1910.
10, yeah, I think that's right. Not probably what they were going for, but I agree.
One of the things I was looking for, like sometimes is the proof in this stuff, is the whether or not you're getting any of the red currant and the raspberries or those dark fruit flavors, the bright flavors you were looking for. And I'm actually, when I start to think about it and look for it, you do get some.
I get some.
It's not as like big and full as you might want, but yeah, actually it's nice.
I think it's nice. I mean, that's where I think it is. I think your call is right, Ben. It's like between the 1910 and the 1920. The 1910 is like a beautiful sipping whiskey.
Yeah.
Kind of subtle. The 1920 is like boom, which
this,
I love.
Yeah, it's got like this very dessert kind of tasting. I can't tell you what it tastes like.
The 1910.
It's like, yeah, the 10 does. The 20 to me comes in a little hot, but I enjoy that spice. This one is like, it's got good elements of both. Now, the question that I have, though, is let's compare this to birthday bourbon, you know, because birthday bourbon typically what, between 10 and 12 years old.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Different recipe, though, again.
Different recipe, but this is comparable as far as if I want to have a sip between birthday bourbon and this. I might take the 24.
It's really good. I think it's
the birthday bourbon is great, but
it's really good.
This is next level.
I appreciate what they're doing here. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy that that the secondary pricing is settling down into the, you know, the 100s. Because I mean I do love the birthday bourbon. It's a super complex, beautiful whiskey, but.
What's birthday bourbon going for these days? Secondary?
Oh, it's stupid.
Yeah, at the lowest end, you know, $4.50 maybe.
So that's where it's it. That's what
you
that's
really
where
can't the... compare it. It's really hard. But I think like for a 10-year age stated, if it can kind of stay in that sweet spot, it's a pretty good whiskey. I'd really like to drink more of this and chew on it for a while.
Of the 24.
Of the 1924, yeah. Because I mean, I like we talked about, we all love that 1910 and 1920, depending on our preference. So I'm trying to figure out what would differentiate this. And then part of me hates the fact that they released it as part of that series because it's a different recipe. It's a totally different whiskey. It's limited. It's not going to be on the shelf.
Well, the thing that I don't like is that it's limited.
Yeah. But they should name it something else, probably. I mean, that's just been my thought.
This would be a really good birthday bourbon, honestly. It really would.
But a different recipe again. That's the problem,
yeah,
you know?
But
They'll call it the little.
Do they stick to now the? All right, yeah. So the birthday bourbon. Do they stick to the same recipe every year?
Yeah, yes. The Old Forester.
Yeah, it's a traditional. Yeah.
The age changes every year, though, right?
Yeah, but mostly 12 years. Right? Mostly yeah. 12. Historically, there have been a couple years of 10 or 11.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And a pretty decent proof though, Ben, on that too. And
what, Kyle, that one behind you, the Old for the birthday bourbon. What is that proof? And what is the year?
This is a barrel 2011. Release 22, and
so it's 11
is,
year.
Yeah, it's a 96 proof.
So it's going to be very close to what we're drinking.
Yep,
just a different recipe. It would be really cool to pop that and compare it to what we have.
So here's what I would say is like independent. So forget about 1910 and 1920. Yep. I think this whiskey, as a 10-year-old, complex, interesting whiskey, is worth somewhere in the hundreds, you know, sub $200. Am I going to pay that for this? Yeah, I'm good with that. I have no problem with that. Like, I'm fine on value. Now, it gets a little trickier. You compare it to 1910, 1920, where they're both outstanding, and you can typically find them for whatever, $50 to $70. $50. That gets a little harder, but like this standalone, do I like it at 100 some dollars? Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I'd like to really break this out on another night because we were drinking the.
He's just trying to drink more of my bottle.
Oh, good Lord.
This is ridiculous.
We were drinking that Blanton's Gold earlier, right? That
and this was good.
The Blanton's Gold was good too, but I mean, just,
I would take this over good. Blanton's Gold. It's I'm good. Sorry.
The viscosity is really interesting on this because the legs are super thick, but they're not, you know, they're very spaced out, the legs. It's kind of a totally different viscosity on this. I like it. I do.
So I haven't had a lot of, I've had some President's Choice, and Kyle and I got lucky with Melissa Riff. She was there and gave us all, she let us try this. And then when I went for the Brown-Forman, the event where I won that bottle, which was stupid.
Which one was that again?
That was the cancer. But so the Brown family was there. And let me tell you something. They are like the nicest, coolest people. And you can't have your PR face on for 3 hours when you're drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an asshole, you're going to show it.
Yeah.
They're like the coolest people. Just very nice, very humble, very talkative, good people. And they had all this stuff out. And so I remember I had my son driving me. I could drink all the President Select that I wanted, President's Choice or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And all the birthday bourbon that I wanted. They had it out on the bar free.
Yeah. No big deal. Whatever.
And it was incredible. 1924 is up there with birthday bourbon. And now I haven't had enough of King of Kentucky. I've had the 14. I haven't had the 18. I haven't had the 16. Although I got a bottle right there. I'm going to pop it. This is up there with everything else they offer that I have had.
Well, here's what's interesting. So you brought up King Kentucky. What I would say is when we had it, and I've not opened the bottle, I sourced after that, which I was willing to pay for it, how good it was. That, like the brightness on that, holy smokes. And so I'm not getting that here.
Yeah, and that's a much higher proof.
I mean, yeah, much higher proof.
That's like 30%.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, yeah.
I think the key here is like, what is your, I even asked you two, like, what would you be willing to pay for this bottle if it's on the shelf, right? Because
150.
Yeah, I'm paying 150 all day.
I think all day, but it's not out there for 150 right now.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No, but it's coming down. I think the more that they put out and the more that people get it. And I forget what I paid. I paid MSRP for this, whatever that is. What was it? 119 or 120 or whatever?
70.
115. No, 115 is MSRP.
No, it's in the hundreds. Yeah.
Oh, 115. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's what I paid for this.
Oh, it's definitely one.
I would buy that all day long.
Yeah, the thing is that they're calling it an annual limited release. Yeah,
what's that mean exactly?
It means that they're going to release it once per year.
Yeah,
and they're going to make it limited, so it's not.
But like how do you make it part of the Whiskey Rose series?
That's what I don't. Well, that's the problem. That's where I was like, when I was doing the research, I was like, oh, God, this is really confusing because it resembles more of one of their limited releases. And so I'm curious, like next year, we're going to find out like what will the production be on the 10 year. It's a lot.
So I'm going to ask you guys the hard question. We all agree that Booker's 2401 has to be in the at least the consideration for whiskey of the year. That doesn't mean it's going to make the top 10. Definitely doesn't mean it's going to make the whiskey of the year. Is this in consideration for whiskey of the year?
I think it is. Joe's not sure.
I don't think so. But I like
it's, I think it is.
I think it is.
I'm not there with this one, but
I'll get there. Don't worry. He's going to get there. We're going to make him drink it blind.
He's going to drink my entire bottle.
Yeah. He's like, let me keep
this. Is research.
I did. It's only because I crushed that Booker's all through the whole,
that Booker's
the whole weekend. And like, I really think that's an extraordinary. Now, I want to drink more of this.
I know you do.
To kind of figure out what I think about it and
chew on it.
I also want to know, what are they going to do with the annual release?
Well, I think that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I think you almost have to ignore the whiskey row thing.
Yeah.
Like, right. You just got to say, okay, standalone, what do I think of this whiskey? Is it worth $200 or $150 or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you have to think about it.
Because here they are, Whiskey Row, they're releasing those first, was it four series there?
Yeah, four.
For between $45 and $60 MSRP.
And okay. you can't beat 1920 or 1910 for that price range.
Probably any of them for the price range, yeah. Right?
So, let me tell you.
Now they release this, and they put it in the Whiskey Row series, so you're tempted to say, we're going to, it's part of the series. It's not.
No, you got to ignore them.
So that's my issue. So guys.
Let me be 100% honest here.
Please.
So when I was there for the bottle that everybody wanted to get, and there were only 150 bottles. It's the Brown-Forman decanter. It's the 150th anniversary. This crazy case and the presentation is amazing. 1924 tastes better than that.
Oh boy!
Oh gosh! Oh, don't say.
Don't that. Say it. Ben.
I am just saying.
Don't line. Do that.
Now, that bottle was going for $6,000-$7,000 on secondary.
I think Ben is pumping this as the whiskey of the year.
No, man. I'm not, because they also had that bottle available, because they had
there were
150 there, right? That they gave out, and then there was 150 that the family had, but they also had it on the bar, and you could drink it. And I remember,
you could have as much as you wanted that, or like you could have like,
I mean,
a pour.
Within,
they're
you
like,
could have a pour.
You could have a pour.
And I remember thinking, damn, this is really good. Yeah. But I could not differentiate between that and birthday bourbon or the President's Choice. When I taste the 1924, that's the one I'm coming back to.
But
I just think it's more like it's
think about
more
its
within
history,
my wheelhouse.
Right? So think about its history. 100 years old, 1924, right in the thick of Prohibition, 100 proof. That's back then bottled and bond. And so it's I think it's very admirable that they kind of like produced a flavor that goes back to that.
Yeah.
So now I want to kind of go back to that. And, Kyle, I'm a nose guy, the aroma. This is like one of the best aromas.
The nose is amazing.
This is like unbelievable. Well, and so I have to find those flavors. And I'm not, more of those flavors, because the nose is absolutely outstanding.
I will say, I think this fits, Ben, your profile perfectly, right? Really, like, I like
exactly.
High proof, hit me in the face, super bright, blah, blah, blah. You like a little more subtle, which I respect. And I think this is like a perfect, this is like super drinkable.
Super drinkable.
This proof is like very nice. Yeah.
This is dark. It's got flavor. It's great got, nose, it's I like mean, a, yeah. It's a very desserty type.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very 1910.
Esque.
Elevated.
Yep.
And.
So you put out 150. As your like your price point, but truly, is it 175? Is it 200? Because I think it's important, because I think what you're going to start, you'll probably see it on the shelf for $200. It's on the border there.
But $200, you start creeping into because I can get Elijah Craig Barrel Proof for less.
But honestly, I would love to like try it against the birthday bourbon. Like,
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I, you know,
I have fond memories of the birthday
bourbon's great. It is great.
It's great.
We are not going to double barrel.
Maybe it's the recipe.
We're going to end this episode.
Don't hurt me.
No, we're not. We're going to keep it going forever. There's something about this recipe that I like.
It is good.
And the age, and honestly, it tastes older than 10. Am I wrong? And I need to go back.
Fantastic.
I need
to pull out the King of Kentucky.
I think Kyle like hit it on the nail, you know, on the nest because they blended a bunch of these barrels that they purchased during Prohibition because they had all these distillers are failing to kind of produce, because even though you might get a medicinal like license from the, you know, U.S. government to go ahead and issue bourbon for that purpose, it doesn't mean you can keep distilling whiskey. It's your existing stock. Yep. And so they went out and bought all these barrels from distilleries that were closing, you know, obviously, and they blended them together. And so I guess in some way I'm going to be a little nicer about this. I think if this is a snapshot of history, I think you got to go out there and get it. Yeah. Even at 200 a bottle, fuck it. You know, just go get it.
It's worth getting a bottle.
All right.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Kyle, two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up. Yeah. What are we 7 hours in? Yeah. How long have we been recording?
Yeah, this is 17 hours.
I'm not.
You're one thumb.
Yeah, I am.
Whoa.
I am really? I'm two thumbs up at the sub like $200 bottle, but I
in the hundreds.
It is. I'm more impressed by what they're doing, but the story.
All right, Joe, let me ask you the question.
Than I am about the
all right, you get a pick between Old Forester 1924 and the Booker's 2401. Which one are you picking?
Booker's.
He loves that Booker's. That's fine.
I do. And
you've had them both now.
Yeah, I would need to head to head them. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's a different whiskey.
I'm going 1924.
Very good whiskey that $200 or less. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about.
What was Booker's MSRP?
Oh, it's $70.
$90.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to beat. That's that. Yeah.
Well, but can you get? Yeah, you can probably get it.
Well, you see it more often than you do.
Yeah.
You know, any other.
You probably see it more often than you will see this. That, right.
I'm not putting this. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of in this again. That Booker's, that uncut, unfiltered, the fact that you can drink that and the finish is so smooth.
Yeah.
So, Ben, two thumbs down. Got it.
No. I love it.
Four thumbs up.
It's a great whiskey, people. I think the value is questionable.
But maybe it's not a fair comparison because Booker's is 100 and what, 25?
Yeah.
124 plus, yeah. But I think
1924 is... people are gonna. I'm gonna get some hate mail on this. I don't care. I would put it up there with Birthday Bourbon. I really would. I enjoyed it, and I had not tried it before, and I've been waiting, and I've been all excited. And maybe that's part of this. I would put this up against Birthday Bourbon any day of the week, and I challenge anybody to do that. Now there are people with much more sophisticated palates and much smarter than me, but as far as taste. This is hard to beat, and I haven't had a ton of King Kentucky. This is hard to beat. This is up there with President's Choice. When you and I drank, Kyle, when you and I drank the President Select or Choice or whatever the hell it's called with Melissa, and she had the new edition out that nobody else had tried.
It was money, yeah.
And I was sitting there thinking, this is like the highlight of my life. This is up there with it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Just remember.
It's damn good.
It's a different recipe.
Okay. But I don't go by, I don't give a damn what the recipe is. I care about what is pleasing to me.
It's doing classic. And I got you.
You know, it's like,
I love it. Yeah.
There's just something about this recipe or whatever's in it. I don't care. It's just damn good.
Well, it's
good.
And it's got like that classic, like dessert. Like, I can't tell you. I mean, you can tell me if it's creme brulee. I don't care. It's like it is the perfect recipe for me. Like I am sold on 1924.
Man,
sold. We'll stop.
We could stop right there.
All right, that's it.
That's We're impressive.
Done. Thank you all for tuning in.
I mean, I'm sure there are better, but that's going to be hard to beat.
No, I think
I'm making my pitch for whiskey.
Now, you know, Ben, what I love about you, the thumbs up, thumbs down. And when you are thumbs up, you've been spot on with and
I agree.
And I mean, totally spot on with your.
Well, if you go back to last year to Garrison,
yeah,
like when I tasted, I was like, holy hell, this is something like I haven't had before. And it was 140 some proof, but it didn't blow your socks off.
No,
it wasn't like crazy. And that's the kind of and I was that way with Booker's, you know, 2401. I was like, this is, Booker's is, that was next level compared to the others that I've had. I've enjoyed most of them, but that 2401 was just different. There was something about
Kyle, it. I wish you were here for that because.
Well, I gave him a pour before the episode started.
But yeah, I just think it. To like, if you were here listening to Ben describe the 2024 one, I kind of felt like I was looking at Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh,
like he was like right on that. I get it.
Kyle looks like a model. I'm a dwarf.
No, I think your palate is spot on.
It is.
The 1924 must have, I mean, the nose is so spectacular on it, and the color that I think like it deserves to be there, like put on a platform with the others.
So. Right. So guys, I have to break it to you. We need to end this up.
No, we don't. I don't think it should be part of the Whiskey Row series.
Oh, I think
No, it should be.
It's a different level.
It's a different deal.
Yeah.
But
we need to tell that to them because that's what's crazy. Because when I was. Well, but I mean, the thing, it just, again, I think the listeners need to know, like, this is not a Whiskey Rose release. This is definitely.
It's a different deal.
This is a different deal.
It really is.
Yeah.
If you find it for under 200 bucks.
Yeah. 200 is threshold.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you find it MSRP, buy it I'll pay you $25 above MSRP for it. We were very fortunate to get this bottle. Thank you, Les. And. Man, I tell you, that's as far as Old Forester goes, it's one of my favorites. It really is.
Damn.
It is.
Love it, Ben.
I enjoy the birthday bourbons. Haven't had a lot of King, but pick this up.
I agree. So,
thanks for tuning in, folks. Let's get you back to some of that light that shine. Get you some.